Your show for Monday, May 20th, 2013. I hope you're having a great day, even though it's heating up out there. I am Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, in today for Bill Buckmaster, who's enjoying some time off this week. We thank you for choosing the Buckmaster Show. The show is live Monday through Friday from noon to 1 p.m. on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Intelligent Voice. We are streaming the show live at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. The program also is available via podcast at buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com, and tucsonsentinel.com. There are also links to the show at gvnews.com, which is the homepage for the Green Valley News, and there's a link to the show at blogforarizona.com. Our Monday political face-off today features Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom, and at 30 minutes past the hour, we're going to be hearing from two fire chiefs from southern Arizona and the issues they're facing. And by the way, we have a wildfire raging now just east of Nogales, so we hope to get an update on that. If you have a question or comment, we invite you to call us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. That's 790-2040. Our producer, Rosemary Brandt, also monitors the Facebook page at Bill Buckmaster and in parentheses, Buckmaster Show. Let's launch into the Monday political face-off with one of two teams of commentators Bill has on the show regularly. The Monday political face-off on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing in the Interior Design Center at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and on Facebook and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome, Bruce Ash, by phone. Are you there, Bruce?
I am.
Okay, welcome. And we have Paul Eckerstrom here in the studio. You guys getting out of the town for summer?
Paul? At some point. Yeah, I haven't figured it out yet.
I don't know. It feels awfully hot already. What about you, Bruce? You getting out?
Not enough.
Okay.
But we'll figure that out. Dan, you sound good on the radio, like you're a natural.
Oh, well, you know, as they say, a face for print journalism and radio, I guess. So let's get right into it on the face-off. Governor Jan Brewer said over the weekend that the legislature could wrap up by week's end, but her Medicaid plan and the budget still have to make it through the House. Paul, do you think we're going to have this thing done by Memorial Day?
Well, I frankly was surprised it got through the Senate. I was heartened to see that. And there was it was a coalition of Democratic senators and some of the Republican senators that got it through. The real test is in the House, because my understanding is the Speaker, you know, Tobin, is against the Medicaid program expansion. However, if he lets it to the floor for a vote, I think it'll have enough support to get passed. So we'll see what happens. Maybe he's going to extract some sort of compromise, some things that maybe he wants in the budget or the bill itself. But it's all about the Medicaid expansion program, in terms of that's got to be the hurdle's got to get over on that before the budget would have any chance of passing.
All right, Bruce.
You know, we had Congressman Matt Salmon on Inside Track Saturday afternoon. Matt actually proposed and a resolution passed in the U.S. House a while ago, defunding the whole Medicare or Medicaid expansion. I'm not as hopeful that we're going to get a defeat of this bill, and I'm not so sure that Andy Tobin has the votes to do a referendum. I do hope, though, if Andy does move ahead and have a vote on the measure as proposed by Governor Brewer, that we might be able to also get a Texas-style tort reform part of it, as well as possibly interstate competition for all the rest of us who still will be buying our health insurance, so we're not held captive by the four or five major companies strictly here in Arizona. I think both of them would be good for consumers.
Well, and the governor did say Sunday that Tobin is open to the expansion with some changes to the bill, so she obviously is open to this also, but he has also said that he wouldn't even consider it unless half the 18 Republicans are on board.
Yeah, and I don't think he'll get to half. That's kind of like the Hastert rule that John Boehner has been following in the U.S. Congress. I think the two things that Bruce mentioned. One, the interstate expansion of allowing other companies to come in, I don't have a problem with, but I don't think it'll fix any problem in terms of creating more competition, frankly. But the other one, the tort reform, I think is going to be, you know, some sort of tort reform is maybe acceptable to Democrats at some point, but I don't know about the Texas-style tort reform. And frankly, if they try to jam that through on this particular bill at this late stage, I don't think they'll get enough Democratic support to pass it. So I think the only way this is going to go through is if it goes through cleanly of what is passed the Senate, and maybe with some smaller tweaks. But Tobin's going to have to let this go to the floor without necessarily a majority in his caucus, if it has any chance of passing.
So basically what Paul has called for is a jam-it-down-your-throat sort of an approach. And this is too big of an issue. It's far too important just to try to jam it all down everybody's throat without some sort of a sweetener. And I think both of those are sweeteners that are being called out for by consumers and bosses of companies all across Arizona. It makes a lot of sense to me.
Right, and just a reminder about this. Arizona, under the expansion proposal, would provide health coverage to 350,000 more people by fiscal year 2015. Without the expansion, the governor says 60,000 are going to be dropped by the end of the year or at the end of the year. Bruce, how do we deal with people who don't have coverage?
We've been dealing with them the same way for many, many years, and the rest of us have paid for their coverage through our own health care premiums, and that's the way it's worked. And nobody's ever been denied access in a hospital or an emergency ward.
Well, the problem with that approach is it's dysfunctional. One, our rural areas are starting to see that their clinics and hospitals can't do it that way anymore. They're going out of business.
They're going out of business for other reasons.
Well, you know, we need hospitals and clinics in the rural areas. We don't, and frankly, even our hospitals here in Tucson are struggling. And I think that's why you see them very much as supportive of the governor's proposal. The other thing is, I would say is that these people may be getting care when it's an emergency or when it's so critical and their illness is so critical they go to the hospital, which is much more expensive than if they got preventative care, if they got regular checkups under a program where they have a health insurance program where they can actually see their primary care physician. And before any condition goes from something that could be taken care of very easily early on to something that's very severe where they have to be hospitalized, and that costs everybody more money. I think this is a no-brainer. We need to do this expansion. The federal government is basically paying for it for the first 2 years, and then after that, it's a small amount, 10%, that the state has to kick in.
The federal government... Paul, correction. The federal government is not paying for it. The taxpayers are paying for it, and we're borrowing money in order to do it, and that's not necessarily good business.
Well, ultimately, I think, and the studies have shown this, that if you get people this preventative care and you get under this program, what happens is you actually save money in the long run.
Well, meanwhile, up until the time that a Democrat-run U.S. House and U.S. Senate jammed Obamacare down everybody's throat in the middle of the night when nobody was watching and refused to compromise and told us to read the law after it was passed and went from 2,200 pages now up to over 13,000 pages with all of the add-ons as offered through HHS, we're seeing what the outcomes are. The HHS secretary has proposed delaying Obamacare until after the 2014 election. Well, that's very convenient. The problem is that we're already seeing increases in health care costs for everybody else. This is a crushing proposition for our country that, frankly, we're not better off, and nobody can prove that to me.
You know, Bruce, the plain fact of the matter is it has not been fully implemented, and all the studies indicate it, when it's fully implemented, it's going to save the country a lot of money compared to what we were spending on health care. Now, it doesn't mean health care costs still aren't going to rise, but they're going to rise at a much slower rate. And I don't pretend to think that Obamacare is the solution to this. I think I've always thought that a national health insurance, you know, Medicare for all, is the better way to go and more efficient way to go. But that's something that the country needs to sort out in the future, I think.
And, Paul, let's look at how the National Health Service works so well in a place like England, where people are routinely denied coverage, where people are routinely turned away, where people routinely have to go to other countries or seek alternate medical assistance because the NHS puts them on wait lists.
Well, you know what?
And this is what
frankly,
we're headed towards,
frankly,
is ration care.
Frankly, Bruce, the expense of health care we have in this country is so much more than Canada or England or any of those other countries, and our health results are a lot worse. We're 29th in the world in health results. People here are not getting the care they need, period.
You're talking about these studies that you pull out of your rear pocket, you can't show us anywhere where you got those studies from.
Okay, let me break in here. We've got Jerry on the line, and she's got a Medicaid question. Jerry, are you there?
Well, there are two things. Number one, with Medicaid, not only are you going to not be having companies come here, but companies leaving. But just to make a point, I worked for American Airlines on the phone, and I hate to say how many hundreds and thousands of people would call from Canada to come down here to have medical care because they would die if they stayed in Canada because they were on a big, long list.
Okay. Okay, thanks. Well, what do you think of that, Paul?
Well, you know, all I know is that the gross national product, we spend 16% of our gross national product on health care. Canada spends 8% on health care. And now I will tell you, that doesn't mean you get the basic, maybe a basic national health insurance, a Medicare for all. Just like Medicare, people can buy additional health insurance to get the Cadillac coverage if they wish. But at least everybody is covered with some basic health care. And I would say, you know, I always hear this about people coming from Canada and all upset about Canada. But the plain fact of the matter is, the National Health Insurance Program in Canada is the most popular government program in Canada. And if anybody tried to get rid of it, they would be voted out of office immediately. All my friends who I've talked to in Canada, they love the program. It's not a wait. You can go down to the corner doctor and get in, and within 30 minutes you're seen, and you also get your medication right there, and you're out the door. And all these horror stories that are brought up, I don't think actually exist.
Okay,
Paul, unfortunately, you're oversimplifying this, and the reason that we like our health care is because we're Americans, and this is the health care that we have. Until this goofy thing was proposed, 85% of Americans were all covered, insured, and had doctors. Now we're looking at big problems.
Okay, thank you, Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. We're going to be right back for the Monday Political Face-Off.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's vscot.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your health care by taking your medicines safely.
Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
If you've just tuned in, you've joined the Buckmaster Show in the middle of the Monday political face-off. I'm Dan Shear, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster, and I'm joined by Bruce Ash on the phone and Paul Eckersrum here in studio. And just a reminder that the Monday political face-off on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, and every time I hear Bill talking about them, he uses the word quality. They're worth it. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing in the Interior Design Center at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and on Facebook and the web at moesgallery.com. If you'd like to weigh in, feel free to call us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040 or 790-2040. We are going to stick with healthcare just for a little bit because we've got a caller. Cynthia, what do you got to say?
I wanted to say that a few months ago, Paul Krugman was asked, how are we going to pay for this? And this is Paul Krugman, not Sarah Palin.
Okay, you're talking about Obamacare.
Obamacare, yeah. Yes, sir. And his answer was, I shouldn't even say because it will get me in trouble, but death panels and sales taxes is how we do this. And that's Paul Krugman.
Okay, thank you. That's Cynthia. Gentlemen, anything to that? I thought that we were past the death panels.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case. But
we haven't even started the death panels.
Say that again, Bruce?
We haven't even started the death panels.
So you think they're real?
They are real.
Are they real like Sarah Palin laid them out to us?
No.
How real are they then?
Well, I think as Nancy Pelosi said once, we'll all find out when the program starts.
Thanks.
You know, and all kidding aside, and I don't mean to make light of this, even insurance companies have have a great deal of culpability when it comes to denying coverage.
Absolutely.
But when you're in this type of a single source healthcare insurance system, there are going to be far more restrictions on things that are covered, on illnesses that people are going to receive treatment for, depending upon other pre-existing illnesses, age, other disabilities, and so on. This is a slippery slope that we get involved in where the national government is able to do this. And I think we've seen over the past couple of weeks with this IRS scandal, if the same people who have been so egregiously wrong in how they've been handling tax-exempt organizations, and nobody's a real big fan of the IRS, Dan, these are the last guys that I want to be providing information to if I was on Obamacare.
Well, let me reiterate something that Bruce just said. We already have death panels, and they're called HMOs and health insurance companies that deny coverage for pre-existing conditions and all sorts of things. And if you get to their limit, they won't pay for the stuff you need to save yourself. And so let's not even fool ourselves. And their motive is profit. Their motive is profit margin. In terms of a government program, and Obamacare is not national health insurance, which I wish we had. Obamacare, it still has the health insurance companies involved, but if you're going to talk about death panels, I'd much rather have people who aren't motivated by profit margin making those decisions about care and who gets it than people who are doing it for profit. And making that decision, say, letting people die so that they can make an extra buck. I think that's abhorrent. The way our system's set up right now, it's worse than worse.
So the free market system you've just said is abhorrent to you.
It doesn't work in the healthcare situation.
It's been working,
Bruce,
great
because let me tell you, if my daughter, if my daughter had cancer, the health insurance company I had denied coverage. You know what I would do? I'd end up going bankrupt to try to save my daughter. And that's what's been happening out there. The plain fact of the matter is, in a real free market system, if I have a toaster that doesn't work, okay, and I go out there and I see all these toasters that are too expensive for me to buy, guess what? I don't buy them. I walk away. And those prices have come down, so I would buy them. But that doesn't happen in the health insurance industry. They got you. They've got you in a bad situation where you have to pay. You have to pay what they charge.
Paul, you're talking craziness. You've gone from issues that happen to occur in a healthcare contract to going to national healthcare all in one swoop. There are plenty of ways for people to buy the health care that they need to take care of their loved ones. And you do it through high deductibles. You can do it through through catastrophic sort of coverage. You can buy insurance that has coverage for previous illnesses. You have high-risk pools that you can get into. There are several things that should have happened before this health care bill was passed.
One of the most popular things in our government is Medicare. Medicare for everybody. Why is it just for the elderly? Why not Medicare for everybody? And if people want not just the basic care like in Medicare provides, you can then purchase additional care
private
insurance. I don't understand why that's a problem. It's good enough for people over 65. It should be good enough for everybody.
Okay, Bruce, let me break in here. We want to get one more topic in. We just have a couple more minutes. Pima County College has a community college has a new chancellor, but that doesn't mean the problems are over. Dr. Lee Lambert was approved unanimously last week, and he's coming to a school that is on probation, has had other troubles too numerous to mention here. We sure as heck wish him luck. But Bruce, the 5-member governing board is still taking plenty of heat from the business community. Who's doling it out and why?
Well, I hope this is something that Paul Ekstrom and I can agree upon. This is a fight between the factions of the Democrat Party here in Pima County. And you have the Grijalva folks who are trying to get control back of the PCC board. And they've used a bad situation with Chancellor Flores, which existed. And by the way, he's been gone now for 13 or 14 months. We've had an interim chancellor and a brand new chancellor, a very good one, that even Sylvia Lee approved of and voted for. This is a battle for control of the entitlement to come out of the Pathways program for people who don't have a seventh grade equivalency ability at their admissions level.
I frankly think what's happened has been pretty dysfunctional at Pima Community College. I think the voters should have a chance, whether it's through a recall or through regular elections, to vote on the people who were responsible for that, not necessarily anybody who was on the board at the time that all this happened, but anybody that was is fair game in terms of the politics of it all. The plain fact of the matter is I think we do have a good new chancellor, somebody who's dealt with cleaning up situations like this in the past, and is coming in, and hopefully he will be able to clean this mess up and, and get PCC on it, on its right course.
Okay, and we certainly do wish Dr. Lambert the best. That's going to have to be the final word on this week's Political Face-Off. My thanks to our two commentators, Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. Always interesting to hear you both. You guys have a great week. And remember, the Monday Political Face-Off on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing in the Interior Design Center at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and on Facebook and the web at moesgallery.com. We'll see you after the break.
Thanks, Don.
SRN News, I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. A tornado that slammed into Oklahoma yesterday is now blamed for two deaths. Authorities say two men in their 70s have been found dead. At least 39 people throughout Oklahoma were injured in the bad weather. The State Department has released its annual report on religious freedom around the world, and it finds a global increase in incidents of anti-Semitism and Holocaust denial. Secretary of State John Kerry called the report a clear-eyed, objective look at the state of religious freedom around the world. United Airlines is again flying the 787 Dreamliner 4 months after smoldering batteries forced the plane to be grounded worldwide. A United Dreamliner flight took off from Houston today and landed in Chicago this afternoon. More than 230 people have been killed in a wave of attacks in Iraq over the past week and a half. This is SRN News.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony? Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sewatita Sun, sitting in for Bill today. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, which is hosting the 18th annual Silver City Blues Festival, Memorial Day weekend, May 24, 25, and 26 in Silver City, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Plenty of great places to stay out there. Faywood Hot Springs Resort, Bear Creek Cabins, the Lake Roberts Motel, and for more information, check out www.southwestnewmexico.org. Great place out there. Been through it many times. Joining me now are Simon Davis, Chief of the Green Valley Fire District, and Les Kay, Chief of the Rio Rico Fire District. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah. Simon, we had a rather sobering event over the weekend.
Yeah, we certainly did, and I'd just like to take a moment to offer our condolences from down here in Southern Arizona to the families of Officer Darrell Wrights of the Phoenix PD and Firefighter Bradley Harper of Phoenix Fire, who both lost their lives in separate incidents, separate on-duty incidents this weekend. You know, the first responder community, you know, it's a very close one, and while we all know the risks involved in serving our communities, this weekend's events were truly tragic.
Okay, thank you. And Chief Cade, looks like we, a little closer to home, we have some action going on not far from you in Rio Rico. Tell us about the wildfire down there.
Well, it's the Soldier Basin Fire. It's just east of Nogales. Currently, there's about 2,500 acres involved. There's a Type 3 incident management team that's working it. There's probably 200 firefighters from all over Southern Arizona and Arizona itself working the fire right now. But, you know, tough terrain, wind conditions blow the fire up in the afternoons. But they're doing a good job containing it. Presently, there's no structural structures, you know, that are threatened, but they've got a 3-4 day plan trying to work it hard to make sure no structures are involved.
And I think the last report I saw said, what was it, 5 miles east of the airport in Nogales?
Yes, as a matter of fact, the airport in Nogales is the incident command post. That's where the management team is at right now. And you can see, I was there this morning for a briefing, you can see the west flank of the fire from the command post. But firefighters are doing a great job, and the management team's doing a great job controlling it.
And eerily familiar to Rio Rico, you had an incident, was that last year or was that already 2 years ago?
That was 2 years ago, right. The Murphy Fire and then the Pajarita Fire, both conjoined there down in southern Arizona. And so we tell all the residents, you know, be fire-wise, you know, have a defensible space around your home. You know, it's your responsibility to help the firefighters out.
Right. And in a wildfire situation, what is the role of, say, the Rio Rico Fire District? Is it if it just comes into town or technically, I guess it's outside your jurisdiction, do you offer support? What goes on right now?
Well, there's so many different agencies that are involved with a large fire. We have cooperative rate agreements with the state of Arizona. We do have wildland firefighters that could go deploy out. But obviously, taking care of the fire district is our number one priority, so we make sure that we have at least the minimal staffing of firefighters that if something happens within the district, you know, we can take care of that and then rely on mutual aid agreements and other cooperative agencies to help out.
Okay, very good. Simon, in addition to being fire chief in Green Valley, which, by the way, the district also covers a good portion of Sahuarita, you're also president of the Arizona Fire District Association. First, explain to us how a fire district is set up, and then tell us a little bit about the mission of the state group, if you would.
Sure. Well, not to get into the weeds on all the technical aspects, a fire district is a special taxing district formed under statute. Again, to be as kind of as brief as possible, to form a fire district, you need a group of residents that decide they want some sort of level of service. They then hold a ballot. If they can get 50% of the folks in that specific area to agree to a fire district, setting up a budget, setting up a expense system, then that fire district goes ahead and gets formed. By doing that, you're actually creating a property tax in that specific fire district. You know, there are other special districts, flood control, irrigation, and things. But obviously, from a fire district standpoint, that's where a community feels they need an improved level of service. We're kind of the stopgap between a municipality which has an established fire protection system. Then you'd have a fire district, and then you get into the very rural Arizona where you'd have a volunteer system or, in some cases, nothing at all.
Exactly. And as you just hit on, Sahuarita, which is incorporated, does not have its own fire department. You guys handle roughly the southern third of it, I guess, and then Rural Metro, which is a subscription service, covers the other part of the town. And people on Rural Metro actually don't have to pay if they don't want to, but they're taking a risk.
Yeah, and actually you kind of hit on one of the very unique things with Arizona as a state. Is the state does mandate that there's police protection throughout the state. You've got the Department of Public Safety, you have local and county sheriff's departments. But when it comes to fire protection, that has to be designated and requested by individual areas. If there is no department that would respond to that area, you just don't have protection.
Right.
It falls down to your choice as an individual homeowner. And that creates issues in the rural area.
Right. And I'll tell you that for us moving down from the Phoenix area, this is one of the strange things that we had to wrap our minds around, this whole idea of a subscription service or the fire district or whatever, just how are we going to get fire service? And the fact is, in northern Sahuarita, Rural Metro will show up if you have a fire, and then they're going to charge you for it if you do not have a subscription, and it can be substantial.
That's true. And it's not just that area. I think all around the state, if you're in a vehicle accident driving up in the White Mountains and you're outside of a jurisdiction, somebody will respond, potentially a lengthy response. But then post-incident, you will get a bill for that response because, again, there's obviously expenses involved. And that, for certainly, a lot of people that move to Arizona from other states, like you say, people have a tough time getting their head around that. How come I got to pay for this fire response?
Absolutely. And I would say that at the newspaper, one of the probably most common calls we get is when people are setting the rates, especially in your case, you're setting the rates for the new year. And it can be kind of tricky. Just give us a real basic understanding of when a rate goes up, why and what exactly does it mean?
Well, two issues that drive that. The rate that you pay is set by the budget of the fire district. A fire district will establish what level of service it wants to operate under. That then establishes a budget, so now they've got to figure where the money comes from in this case, tax revenue. So then you take the assessed value of that fire district, and by assessed value, I mean the value of the homes in that district. Depending on where that is where you set the tax rate. And the tax rate is based on secondary assessed value. Right now, it's actually changing to primary next year. But right now, it's secondary assessed value. So myself, as a fire chief, I will set the budget. I will get it approved by the fire board. Then we take the assessed value of the entire community, the Green Valley Fire District, and that sets the tax rate. Now, in a perfect world, that stays the same and life is good. But obviously, in the last 5 years, we've seen some significant devaluation. And so while your property might have gone down 20, 25, 30% in southern Arizona, my budget, obviously, accordingly, would have to go down the same amount while we've made significant cuts. The ability to continue that level of service that the district was originally formed for would usually, property values go down, so we have to raise that tax rate. Southern Arizona has weathered it a little better than northern Arizona, where some communities have seen a 60% decrease in home valuations. So that is kind of where the fluctuation in property in the tax value is.
Right.
And then you get into increased level of services and inflation, the cost of equipment, things like that. So it's kind of a juggling act trying to keep it all right. The intent is to obviously keep the residents, the folks, engaged into what's going on, through good communication.
So here you are getting into this business thinking you're going to be fighting fires and hauling people to the hospital, and here you are wrestling with tax rates and angry callers. Les, that cannot be unfamiliar to you.
No, in Santa Cruz County, L.A., I call it, Lower Arizona, we're fighting the same kind of battles. Rio Rico has seen a 38% increase in assessed values over the last 4 or 5 years, and we're expecting, according to the assessor, another 10%. So that means in the last 5 years, 48% of our revenue has been cut. So we're now, as fire chiefs, wrestling with spreadsheets and budgets, and the firefighters are still out doing their job, getting trained, responding on calls, but I think Chief Davis and myself never expected to be wrestling with the computers and spreadsheets back in the old days.
Right. And some of the fire districts have some help, and we're going to get to that after the break through the Arizona Fire District Association. And I also want to talk a little bit about how the fire agencies along the I-19 corridor support each other. I'm Dan Scheer. I am filling in for Bill Buckmaster. I am joined by Simon Davis, Chief of the Green Valley Fire District, and Les Cade, Chief of the Rio Rico Fire District. And we will see you after these commercials.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Looking for a cool getaway this July? I highly recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at BearMountainLodge.com.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, and joining me are Simon Davis, Chief of the Green Valley Fire District, Les Cade, Chief of the Rio Rico Fire District. If you have a question or comment, we invite you to call us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. That's 790-2040. And before we left on the break, Simon, we were talking about some of these fire districts sometimes can get into a little bit of trouble financially. What's the role of the Arizona Fire District Association in helping them out?
Well, you do touch on it. I think the economy has significantly impacted a lot of the districts, and certainly the smaller ones trying to make ends meet. From the state association, which actually represents, it's close to 165 districts in the state, and I think we've got about 140 membership.
Wow.
But our big thing is education. Obviously, on some of the bigger districts, we can have the sophistication, the financial management, and some tools there to try and help us through the downturn. But a lot of these smaller districts just don't have that ability. And so what we try and do is share that, either through teaching classes, financial classes, things like that, or actually going over to these fire districts and assisting them review their budget, looking at their operation, seeing where they can save any dollars. It's kind of an interesting, being the president, an interesting job. We have fire districts have operating budgets of $20 million down to these small districts dotted out in the rural area with an operating budget of $10,000.
Well, and that is something else. 160 fire districts in the state.
Correct.
And again, the people outside of Maricopa County probably don't even really understand a lot of this. But when you get into the rural areas, it becomes an issue.
It is, and it's the only form of emergency response. Everybody, and you bring up Maricopa County, everybody kind of sets the rules there, but then they travel outside of Maricopa County to go have fun and usually end up, having these small fire departments respond to them.
Yep, wake up call.
It's a tough job trying to make the ends meet. Dedication is never a problem.
Right.
The folks out there are very dedicated, but just the cost of doing business is getting higher and higher every year, and the sources of revenue to support that business is getting less and less.
Right. I'm sitting there listening to the police scanner all day, and I'm hearing the calls, and I'm hearing the folks go out, and journalists like to say we want to be first on the scene. No, we don't. We want to be second on the scene. And I've heard some scenes out there that I did not want to be the first one on, so we're glad the first responders are actually the first responders. Let's talk about the I-19 corridor, roughly Sarita down to Nogales. What kind of cooperation is there, and how many agencies are there roughly in that area, and how do you guys all talk to each other?
Well, great questions. The I-19 corridor, which not only has over the road, but also a rail cars passing parallel to the I-19 corridor, goes through the city of Nogales, Rio Rico, Tubac, Green Valley, and cooperation is essential, because if we have a house fire or an overturned semi truck or a rail car accident, none of those agencies, and they're all varying sizes, have enough resources to do an extended operation over several days. So mutual aid is imperative. We've sat down with Green Valley, the Tubac Fire District, Rio Rico. We're having, I think it's bi-monthly meetings now, where we're talking about making sure our standard operating guidelines and our standard operating procedures are the same. They're similar. We're sharing communications. We're trying to share information. It's very important that we work together. And Chief Davis has been great working with both Tubac and Rio Rico as far as how do we get this synergy going.
Right, and in the end, as far as the consumer goes, when you need to be there for each other, you guys are there. We just assume that that is the case.
It's been tremendous. We'll take an example of on Mother's Day evening. We had a horrific accident down in Rio Rico. It was two cars, high speed, multiple victims. Two individuals had perished. We needed help from both Nogales and Tubac to help extricate and get some of those patients. Well, that also takes away from Tubac, and Green Valley moved up their apparatus into Tubac just to cover that area. And really, it's that cooperation that the public should realize keeps them safe at all times.
What about the volunteer fire departments? We have some in the area. And Simon, give us a sense of how these are set up, and are these 24-hour operations? I'll be honest with you, I have no clue.
The whole volunteer, you know, the fire service was founded on volunteers 250 years ago. Back east, it's a huge thing still.
Right.
Arizona, it's a lot tougher, and largely based on geography. You know, we have a lot of rural areas, and the volunteers all have jobs. Usually the jobs are in the cities, and so just their ability to operate gets to be, you know, very tough. We do have three or four in southern Arizona, and those guys are incredibly dedicated. But some of the problems we have, you know, they have is maintaining their training standards.
Right.
You know, it's no longer jump in a pickup truck and just respond to the call. They've got to have, you know, state certifications, things like that. So, you know, with no funding, and these folks purely do it through bake sales and whatever money they can get donated, it just makes it very tough.
So they're not obviously they're not a taxing authority. They're just living on the good wishes of the people who they cover, and if they give, they give, and if they don't, they're stuck.
Right, and they do charge on some of their responses.
Okay,
but again, it's responses, and they get very few. You know, these are folks in the rural, very rural area. You know, right. Communities a long way from you know. Shouldn't say civilization, but
sure.
Just, you know, they're out in the rural area, so they don't get a lot of calls. So it purely comes down to their dedication to serving their community.
Sure, and I've been out to the Helmet Peak Volunteer Fire Department, and they do a tremendous job. And for some people, it's almost a training ground for those wanting to go on to paid positions. Is that accurate?
Yes. Yeah. It's very tough to get into the fire service.
Sure.
Unfortunately, a lot of folks still want to get into it,
yep.
Which we think is a good sign. So, you know, take Green Valley. We don't do a lot of hiring, or we don't hire very often. And so these folks will go to the volunteers, get their training, get their experience, so that when we do put the applications out, you know, they can have that experience level and hopefully move higher up the hiring list.
Okay. Les, we had a caller who didn't want to go on the air but had a question. This time of year, pool safety is essential. It comes up. It's one of those things that we cover every year in the media. Have we seen a decrease in pool deaths? That's what the caller wants to know. What's going on out there?
Well, drowning prevention, the awareness of, you know, always keep an eye on kids is so important. I don't have the statistics for Pima County. I know in Santa Cruz we've had one near drowning, but I think the message to all of the listeners out there is just don't leave your kids alone by the pool. You make sure that the pool has gates and a fence around it and it's locked. You know, it just takes a few seconds to not pay attention to let one of the little ones near the water, and you could have terrible accidents. So I'd like to thank the caller for the question, because drowning prevention, you know, water safety is so critical this time of year.
Yeah, and I think just to tie in on that, you know, school's about to get out. So you got a lot of these kids, you know, at home, some of them alone and stuff. But, you know, as Les said, the very small kids, the ones that don't know how to swim, you cannot leave them alone at all. You know, lock out the pool. Just don't let them near the water. Because it only takes a few seconds. And we hear the tragic stories almost weekly from around the country, around the state, of, you know, these small kids falling in the pools and nobody noticing it.
I tell you, someone said something to me after we had an event last year in Sahuarita, and it was that, you know, the sound of a child drowning is quiet. It's underwater. You don't hear it. You're not paying attention. This can happen very quickly. So, yeah, I thank the caller, too, for bringing this up. It's very important. Very quickly, Simon, we've got about a minute and a half left here. There is a proposal for a hospital down in Green Valley. We're still looking for an operator for it. The actual building is going up. We just don't have anybody who says they're going to be working out of there. But how is this going to change things as far as – because I know a good percentage of what you do is taking people to the hospital. It's medical calls.
Right. I've been down in Green Valley 27 years now. And, you know, we've had talk of hospitals come and go. I think it would be a great asset to the community. Again, the average population in the Green Valley area is close to 72 years old.
Sure.
Having a hospital down there just kind of makes sense.
Right.
So I think it would be a great thing. It will only enhance the community. And one of the big reasons folks leave Green Valley is to move closer to hospitals, you know, as they get older and they have those needs. So I think it would be a benefit to not just Green Valley, but Sarita and further down south, Tubac, Rio Rico. We need more medical facilities in southern Arizona. This would go a long way to helping that.
And you guys as a district are growing. Is it true you guys have some new recruits right now?
Yeah, actually, they start on the 28th of March. We've just hired 7 new firefighters. They're actually replacing some retirees. So it's good. We actually get back to full staffing. Again, another issue with the economy. We actually dropped staffing based on less tax revenue.
Right.
But now we're going back to full staffing. So I think it's good. It's great for the community.
Well, very good. Well, I want to thank you both for being here tonight. We really appreciate the work you do. I want to thank my guest, Chief Les Cade of Rio Rico and Chief Simon Davis of the Green Valley Fire District. That's going to wrap it up for us this morning, this Monday, on the Buckmaster Show. And I want to thank Rosemary Brand for helping me through this. She's always terrific. She's the producer. And let me say, one more commercial for Bill. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water, the largest variety of water treatment products and services available for your home or business. I'm Dan Scheer, wishing you a terrific rest of the week.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.